Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast. All right,
DeAndre Hopkins is on his way to the Kansas City Chiefs. This is the latest in what's been, honestly, the latest in what's been kind of a crazy wide receiver offseason, or crazy wide receiver year going back to the offseason with all the waiting around for extensions on Justin Jefferson. The Brandon Ayuk thing just ultimately wound up being not a sad story. He got paid, but ultimately wound up being a big popcorn fart with him going out with a torn ACL and MCL.
It ultimately ended up being like the prime exhibit in the falling apart of the San Francisco 49ers Super Bowl window.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. Yeah. Okay, yeah, they did all this. They paid all these guys these contracts to try to keep the core around for one more year, including Brandon Ayuk. There was drama all offseason. He shows up, doesn't produce, gets injured, done for the year, boom.
Yep.
But you got to pay him all that money.
Yep. And the Texans have been part of the whole wide receiver drama, trading for Stephon Diggs. Granted, that goes all the way back to April, but I'm including the offseason here. Diggs coming here, all the contract disputes or machinations or holdouts with CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, Brandon Ayuk, I mentioned, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins in the franchise tag in Cincinnati, and it's bled into the regular season here with Devontae Adams now being traded and having debuted with the Jets last week. Amari Cooper traded to the Bills and having a pretty productive debut with the Bills. He got into the end zone. Brandon Ayuk out for the season. Now, yesterday, rumors popping up that L.A. would be open to trading Cooper Kupp, who Super Bowl MVP. I mean, he's been a fixture in L.A. since he got there. Here's Diana Rossini of The Athletic yesterday on the Dan Le Batard show talking about the Rams being open to trading Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp, Kansas City Chiefs. Is there a chance?
If the Rams are willing to take on the salary, I heard that they're willing to do. So they are definitely open to trading Cooper Kupp. So we'll see if they'll be able to get a deal done. I just don't think Kansas City has even enough money, even if the Rams were to take on some of that salary. That's been the problem and the reason why they haven't been able to go after a Devontae Adams, an Amari Cooper, like we've seen other teams be aggressive with.
All right. So Cooper Kupp, possibly on the block. There's teams that need wide receivers.
The scary thing with Cooper Kupp is that, all right, in 2021, he almost had 2,000 yards receiving. And the most he's had since then, because of a combination of mostly injuries, but also just he's not quite the same guy on film. He had 812 yards a couple years ago. He had 737 yards receiving last year.
Yeah.
In that time, he missed 8 to 15 games in two seasons. So, I wonder just like how much of a just how much of a quick fix teams look at him as a
That's a fair point. I think from a Rams perspective, I'm wondering, okay, what can we get for him?
Yeah.
And I think what you described to me, Seth, I mean, Cooper Kupp is a younger player than DeAndre Hopkins. But what you're describing in terms of the dynamic over the last couple of years is very similar to Hopkins, where a couple of years ago, he wasn't 2,000 yards productive, but he was a more productive player then. Injuries have hit now. I mean, he had an MCL injury in the preseason this year, DeAndre Hopkins did. For those who haven't gotten caught up to speed on it, the Chiefs are sending it's been reported as a conditional fourth-round pick. Some of the reports I've seen is it's a fifth that could go to a fourth with certain parameters. So whether you view that as a conditional fifth or fourth, that's the neighborhood it's in, like a beginning of day three, a first half of day three pick. The Rams in that cut there, you heard Diana Rossini say that they're looking to get a second round pick for Cooper Kupp. I think it's important that you mention there how much money the Rams are willing to take on with all that, because they're going to have to get a second round. After what you just outlined, Seth, they have no chance of getting a second round pick just straight up for Cooper Kupp without paying most of the rest of his salary this year,
right?
Taking on some money, then the Rams are buying a second round pick. Essentially.
And the Rams are definitely in that range where, okay, he's 31 years old. He's been injured. He's been injured the last three seasons. Mm-hmm. He hasn't actually produced all that much. Why on earth would we keep him around for another 2 years or so? We need to be clearing the deck still of guys just like this.
Yes, which then begs the question, which has been brought up, I've seen it brought up by people, And there was a rumor yesterday that I don't know how substantiated it is because I don't, the outlet that was reporting it wasn't among the trusted ones. But Florio went and ran with it as a hypothetical yesterday, purely hypothetical. But if you're going to, look, if you're going to trade Cooper Kupp, if you're tearing it down, Rams, there are teams in need of high-level quarterback play out there.
Yeah.
Why not go all the way and trade Matthew Stafford in this whole thing?
Ooh.
And they brought up the Vikings, which would be fascinating to me because Sam Darnold has played pretty well this year. He's not Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
I mean, he's played better than Stafford this year, but he's in a much better situation than Stafford.
Yeah, he's in a better situation than Stafford. Oh, boy. What are you... Ooh. And then the Jets, obviously. they can't do it. But
yeah.
Are the Jets in Browns territory right now where they're kind of hoping the quarterback gets injured? They're like, all right, man, this is all right. This is probably it for him. And, of course, no, we
That's
never
really
want anybody
funny.
To get injured. But this would make things a lot simpler and less dramatic, at least.
That's really
But they're
funny.
Not in a position to trade for him.
No. Boy. If we were in Minnesota right now, would we want a Matthew Stafford trade? You're 5-1. Sam Darnold's playing pretty well, but do you feel like Sam Darnold is a potential Super Bowl winning quarterback? Is he a guy that can in the postseason can beat Detroit? Can beat, I don't know, who else are we talking about in the NFC right now? I mean, really, it's their division that we're talking about. We're talking about Green Bay and. So I guess we got to talk about is Sam Darnold, a guy that can get out of his own division with all those good teams like Green Bay and Detroit in there. Right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
That might be.
I don't
Minnesota
know. I'm treading carefully with Sam Darnold just because
his face is still fat,
far,
Seth.
But I've been so wrong about him in so many ways thus
Me
far.
Me too.
I mean, if you just look at him on the season, he's having a better year than he's ever had in the entire NFL. Mm-hmm. So I have to throw out all of my preconceived notions about Sam Darnold and just go based on what I've seen him like up close and personal when he faced the Texans, is that he's doing everything he needs to do to keep that offense in position to win football games. I don't know.
Yeah, like the NFC's weird because San Francisco is so mediocre right now. You know what I mean? Like the NFC was already the lesser of the two conferences. Coming into this season, you're right. Like you look at any QB power ranking and like, wow, the six best quarterbacks in football are all in the AFC. I don't know how that shifted or changed this year so far. I feel like it's still pretty similar to that. There have been some good performances in the NFC. Maybe it's a case with a team like the Vikings, Seth, where they go, look, with San Francisco kind of at least temporarily out of the picture and dealing with a ton of injuries right now, this might be an NFC that's there for the taking if we go from having a, I'll call him a B-level quarterback in Darnold, to a pretty recent Super Bowl champion in Matthew Stafford. You know? Like, okay, if we can just get through. Like, these are the four division leaders right now in the NFC. Detroit, really good football team. Washington, good team, but how sustainable is this? They haven't played one division game yet. Seattle just lost three games in a row before beating Atlanta. And who's the other division leader? Atlanta. Like, that's not a real daunting roster of teams that you would need to get through if you're Minnesota and you feel like going from B-level quarterback play to potentially A-level quarterback play could get us into a Super Bowl, you know?
But I don't know. Is Stafford A-level quarterback play?
That's the
I don't
big
look
question.
At him as A-level quarterback play.
I don't think so.
No, I like Sam Darnold more right now.
You do?
If it has to come down to Sam Darnold scrambling to extend time or something in a key moment in the game, I just think that Sam Darnold's got more upside in that regard than Matt Stafford does at this point in his career.
No, there's no doubt about that. They're different guys. They're different athletes. I mean, Stafford... I'm with you. I if I were Minnesota, I wouldn't do it because it's probably going to cost you a high level pick. Also, I would just roll and see what happens. But it all depends
also,
on what.
Well,
how does Minnesota see Matt Stafford is the big question.
Right. And yeah, what do they look at him as? Okay, what could we be doing with him that we can't quite get out of Sam Darnold? And do they see where the end point is with Sam Darnold? That game versus the Jets game. It's not like Sam Darnold play is it like he didn't win them that game.
Right.
So that's the one because how many games have they won?
They're 5-1 right now.
They're 5-1 with Sam Darnold.
With Sam Darnold, they're 5-1. And I think the other thing to point out though as you point out with Stafford, like, what is Stafford at this point? Is it fair to think that with Kevin O'Connell as a head coach, you're going to get the best version of whoever's playing quarterback there?
Right.
Did a real good job with Kirk Cousins, won games with Josh Dobbs last year.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold's 5-1. Like, I think it's fair to say, to me, my biggest concern with Stafford would just be his age and his health. That would be the biggest thing, is we make a trade for him and something happens, because he's on the wrong side of 35 now.
I would say you go with that Minnesota Green Bay game, and Minnesota just destroyed Green Bay. The final score ended up being 31-29, but Minnesota destroyed Green Bay for three quarters.
Yes.
And Green Bay clawed their way back into potentially something happened in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
And like, Green Bay's a better team in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So I don't see Sam Darnold being the ceiling on what this team could do.
Yeah.
No, I would stick with Sam.
You'd stick
maybe
with
I'm him. I'm gonna. Is he gonna make a 2-time sucker out of me?
He's come a long way with us, Sam Darnold.
First half of this season, I guess if he makes a sucker out of me again, it'll negate the first time that I was suckered when I said, like, nah, Sam Darnold's not gonna do it for them. So, but I'm not counting him out.
Yeah. So back to wide receiver. I feel like when you look at all the moves that have been made wide receiver wise, I feel like even though Diggs has not been able to elevate this offense, you know, this offense is worse than it was last year.
Yeah.
Of all the moves, like I still feel good about the Diggs move compared to the other, you know, like San Francisco's got to be like, what were we thinking with giving Brandon Ayuk this money, especially considering the way he handled his business. I think, you know, it's still too early with the Jets and the Bills with how they feel about Davante Adams and Amari Cooper. I feel like in the universe of wide receiver moves that have been made and will be made probably soon, I still feel good about the Diggs trade.
Yeah, a lot of that is just simply, okay, as a compliment to Nico Collins, yeah, he's a really, really good. We saw that when Nico Collins was in there, Stephon Diggs was churning out receptions. Mm-hmm. He was one of the top five in receptions in the league at that point. And I still feel good about that as long as Nico Collins does come back.
Yeah.
I mean, we're sitting here where Christian Harris, one of our listeners thought that Christian Harris was designated for return. As far as I can tell, they're basing that on seeing that he was on the Texans website. He's on the list of reserve/designated to return.
He could come back.
He hasn't been designated to return that we can tell as of yet. So we're sitting here with Christian Harris with what was supposed to be a minor injury on the first day of training camp, still isn't coming back. So So I can't sit here and think like, well, yeah, they're just being careful with Nico Collins. He'll be back eventually. But if he does come back, then yeah, that the Stephon Diggs trade looks really, really good. So.
Okay. Back to the Texans O-line for a second. We're not going to read texts like this.
Oh, no.
I bet these O-line players close their fridge with their hips. Not going to read that. All right.
Don't read it. We're not going to indulge in
We're not going to read texts like that on this show.
We're not going to talk about them sitting down to pee or anything
no,
like that.
No, I'm definitely not reading that. Yeah.
We're certainly not going to make any analogies about them, you know, making lunch for their girlfriend's boyfriend or anything like that. No.
We're not
playing that game.
We're not reading any of the texts like that.
No, we're not. Nor are we encouraging you to send more in.
No. 713-572.
We would never encourage us to suggest analogies like that.
No, yeah. We would never tell you to send those to 713-572-4610.
And we'll tell you the examples of the ones that we won't be reading.
Correct.
As we start to receive
Correct.
Those
Correct. So
texts.
That you guys can
that
correct
we're
your
certainly
behavior.
Not requesting.
Yes, yes, thank you, Seth. Absolutely.
I want to be sure everybody knows exactly what we will and will not accept.
We're going to hammer that point home throughout the rest of the show. If you guys dare to send these texts to 713-572-4610, okay? Do we have it? Are we clear?
About how they're like, oh, yeah, these guys will ask for directions at a gas station.
Are we clear?
Are any of these things, yes.
Are we clear on this? Okay. actual offensive line question. Seth, when do we get to see Blake Fisher? Is that a bigger risk than keeping on right now?
That's the thing, is that, again, we're in this spot where we've got expectations, and it's not like Tytus Howard and Laremy Tunsil are bad at all. It's just they're not playing up to their salary. Yeah. And for the people that want to defend various offensive linemen by the Texans by bringing up their PFF grades on, like, oh yeah, but look, Laramie's the sixth best pass protector in the league. Oh, okay, we're playing the PFF game, are mm-hmm. we? You like the Pro Football Focus grades? According to Pro Football Focus, he's a mediocre. He's middle of the pack, mm-hmm. as is Titus Howard when it comes to offensive tackles yep. in the NFL. Why is that? Because they're not that good at run blocking, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. And also, like, Laramie skates by on some of these Fugazi stats about him never letting up a pressure or something. He's gotten lucky as hell a couple times where he's gotten destroyed, but CJ's already scrambling to the right or something. Yeah,
I need some Seth Payne YouTube injected into my veins. Come on, man.
I don't like doing the low light stuff because then it ends up being people pick those up and run with it. Yeah. You know, you throw the worst snap that somebody has had out there, and then in their minds, that's how they play every single snap.
Right. I get it.
But no, neither of those guys are worth the money you're paying them. Mm-hmm. I don't care how good Laramie Tunsil is in pass protection. He's not worth the money you're paying him. He's not as good as those other guys.
Yep.
He's not as good. I think sometimes because of the preeminence of the passing game, people confuse good pass protection for being an elite offensive tackle. Mm-hmm. And he's not. He's not up there on that same level as the genuinely elite offensive tackles in terms of being an overall complete player.
That's right.
And yet the Texans have twice made him the highest paid offensive tackle in the league.
Let's see here. I was thinking about this is from Chris in the ATL, I believe. I was thinking about the weakest link on the O-line and it being Kenyon Green or Titus Howard. Which one of those, which one of those is the Jose Abreu of the Texans? Meaning they've been given every chance, but it's not working and best they be replaced. Once the Astros replaced Abreu, the lineup performed better and so did the team as a whole. Or is that too much of a stretch to put Abreu on Green or Howard in this analogy?
I think, honestly, so this is where I am with the offensive tackles right now. I don't think Blake Fisher is a better replacement than either of those guys. I don't think now's the time you do that. Again, they're not playing poorly. They're just not playing up to the level that you would have expected them based on how you paid them.
Yeah.
I think the bigger question is, okay, at what point do you swap out somebody for Kenyon Green?
Right.
Like, Kenyon Green's the one guy that gets beat physically really bad more often than I want right
That's
there.
A replaceable piece right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I mean, Juice Scruggs, I think, it's more on the young center making the calls, getting everything right pre-snap that I worry about more, and there's nothing that fixes that other than more reps.
Yeah, you just signed up for that.
He's I think physically, I'm not as worried about him as I am with Kenyon Green.
Yeah.
So the question is more like, okay, I just hope they don't think the solution is to move Titus Howard to guard because he's an awful guard.
No.
All those things when people say these guys shut their fridge door with their hips, that's Titus Howard when he plays guard.
He is
not a guard.
No.
A guard, you need a junkyard dog in you, and Titus Howard is not a junkyard dog.
All right, we talked about the wide receiver market. DeAndre Hopkins on the move today. He is headed to the Kansas City Chiefs. They're finalizing that deal. So we'll talk more about that. But one market that developed this offseason that the Texans were participating in, and it's been a home run, not just for them, but around the league. We'll dig into that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Man, you guys do not follow instructions very well. We told you not to send texts like this to 713-572-4610. We told you that we aren't going to read texts like this. Stop sending them. Like texts about the offensive line. Like this text right here. I bet the offensive line pinches their noses before they jump into the swimming pool.
Oh, that's messed
up. Stop it. It's
Sean,
messed up.
Everybody stop sending those things in. I don't want to hear anything about the water wings they wear either. that they've got floaties on as they jump in with a really stretched out inner tube over their midsections as well.
I actually take particular umbrage with this one I'm about to read, because I am lumped into this same group.
Is it something about them yelling "Ali Ali Oxen Tree" before they jump in?
No, I don't do that anymore. This text: our O line will call AAA to change their spare tire.
100%.
Yes, me too. That's changes.
Titus Howard drove his his high lifted truck into a sinkhole in the offseason.
He was a good sport about it too. I'll give him credit for that.
He was, yeah.
Of course, he can afford to just have cars be disposable when you make $18 million a year. Like, nah, all right, on to the next. I'm guessing he had insurance. See, I'm not reading this one. The only time the O-line gets hyped up is when somebody proposes on the Jumbotron.
Why'd you guys mess up that pass protection? The kiss cam was going, and it was clear that this girl did not want to kiss the guy next to her. It was embarrassing.
Oh, my God.
And then she ended up kissing the other guy on the other side of her.
Last one, and then I'll get to the topic we teased, I promise. The Texans O-line are the types of dudes who wiggle their fingers before they grab a donut. What's wrong with that? Oh, these are funny.
Don't
I mean, they're not. They're not funny.
Sean,
stop sending them.
Degrading is what they are.
Yeah.
This is disrespectful.
Stop
sending them.
Yeah.
I'm ashamed that any of you would send those in, and I will remain ashamed as you send more in.
See, they're close before jumping in the pool.
What kind of monsters listen to this show?
It is a little offensive, all right?
Somebody would laugh at that.
Stop sending them to 713-572-4610. We're not going to read them.
We demand that you stop.
Yes.
And we will continue to show examples of the texts that you shouldn't be sending in.
Throughout the show.
As long as they keep coming in.
Indeed, indeed. Here was Jerry Jones yesterday on 105.3 The Fan. I guess he got over not talking about things that happened in the past.
Yeah.
He was kind enough to talk about why the Cowboys did not... why they didn't sign Derrick Henry, and what would it look like even if they did sign Derrick Henry?
Derrick Henry is having a career year. I don't know if he'd be having that career year in our situation. And that's really something you really do have to look at, because if he had not had as many carries as our running backs have had, then he certainly probably wouldn't have attained the level of impact he's having. And then he's a real good complement to the type of offense they run. We don't run that type of offense at all. Our situation is more about, frankly, it's more about holding your blocks. It's more about not making mistakes. It's more about, in my mind, the receivers running through a tough man-to-man coverage and running on through it. And, if you will, get away from that.
Okay. The last part, the 20 seconds there where he's talking about our system's about holding your blocks and running through man. I don't know about all that. I just know that Derrick Henry has more yards through the first 7 games with a new team than any player in the history of football right now. He's got 892 yards through 7 games right now.
Well, it's interesting, too, because in that game on Monday night, you know, Derrick Henry wasn't used much at all in the second quarter. And whoever Joe Buck uses for his stats on Monday Night Football is really good. He came up with some really he had immediately at the command that they use the other guy there in Baltimore. I'm blanking on his name.
Justice Hill.
Thank you. Justice Hill in 2-minute situations a lot more. I think also they were getting blitzed a lot, and they just started using a lot of screens to Justice Hill really lethally. Something you'd love to see the Texans be able to actually execute, which they cannot.
Right.
But they don't expect Derrick Henry to get 30 carries a game. And so it's not just Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson and that rushing threat. It's the fact that they can do some stuff with Justice Hill as well. So I would agree with... It's tough because Jerry's defense is basically, well, we're not as good as the Ravens.
And he's right.
Why didn't you bring this good player on here? Well, because we're not as good as that other team. Like, but doesn't having more good football players help? Other guys be good? I don't know if I'm buying this.
I thought the same thing.
It's like a kid telling his mom, like, "Well, listen, I'm not going to have a 4.8 GPA. I'm a lazy student."
Right.
Like, what are you expecting?
Right.
And the mom is like, "Yeah, that's That's exactly the issue here. Yeah,
that's why.
Meanwhile, the father, a Texans offensive lineman, is just cowering in the corner because he's afraid of the kid. But the mom is doing the dirty work.
Like that,
the mom is like explaining to the son, "Yes, your laziness is keeping you from getting better grades." And Jerry Jones is just like, "Well, I can't. We're just lazy, you know."
Yeah,
I don't really expect us to get Derrick Henry in here when what we do is underperform. Okay, that's our system.
Just not.
We like to underperform.
We're just not very good. And that's why we didn't sign Derrick Henry. We're just not very good.
I know, like, you guys like to think that, oh, we could just bring these great players in here and that they're going to play great. What you forget is that we're not good.
Yeah, right. It's
oh, thanks, Jerry. I feel awesome about that explanation.
Here, you know, what's interesting, and this is where the Texans come into it, is there was, like, we talked plenty about wide receivers. To me, the most interesting market, maybe the offseason back during free agency, was the running back market. And it was interesting to us because, A, the Texans needed to upgrade the running back position. And B, there was there were a lot of divergent opinions on who they should sign. You know, you were a big Derrick Henry guy.
I was.
Looks like a good opinion right now.
Well, yeah. I might go Jerry Jones on that a little bit. Like, the Texans... The Texans' offensive line isn't playing well enough to get the best out of Derrick Henry.
Right.
But I
think the people that were arguing against it were not arguing based on system. They were arguing based on age and how Henry looked in the games against the Texans and on Saquon Barkley being a younger, maybe more exciting and explosive player.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's interesting about that market is there were, like, the four biggest names that off the top of my head were Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, and I'll throw Joe Mixon in there because that's who wound up with the Texans. Those deals all are, at least 7 weeks into the first season, all look phenomenal for the teams that chose to invest in the running back position. Derrick Henry is first in the league in yards per game for Baltimore. Saquon Barkley is second in the league in yards per game for the Eagles. Joe Mixon is third in the league in, I'm talking rushing yards here, rushing yards per game for the Texans. And Josh Jacobs is fourth in total yards in the NFL for the Green Bay Packers. And what's interesting about this, Seth, is that all four of those teams are in the playoff hunt right now, if not leading their divisions. Baltimore 5-2, Philly 4-2. Texans are 5-2. Green Bay is 5-2. The teams that let those running backs go are all below 500, and in many cases, well below 500, and starting to sell off parts right now. Which may in part be why they didn't feel like investing in older running backs. Is this is the direction that the Titans and the Giants and the Raiders were headed? Anyways, the Bengals being 3-4 was not something that people saw coming. But all four of those teams that let those guys go, they are rags right now. Other than the Bengals, who I think are resurging a little bit, Titans, Giants, and the Raiders are awful football teams right now.
I think that, and part of it too is as the pendulum swings one way or the other in terms of the importance of the run game, the way defenses are playing these days, it's probably more valuable to have a good running back now than it was a few years ago.
No question.
They're light. They're just physically lighter. You got more defensive backs out on the field at any given time than you used to have. And for what it's worth, remember all the hand-wringing about how scoring was down in the first month of the season? Scoring has gotten back to basically being on par with where it usually is in the NFL. I wonder how much of that has to do with the fact that, the teams that are using their running backs effectively have been able to mash teams and mash defenses. So there's it's running backs have had a little bit of a moment here. You still have the issue of them not being able to stay healthy, as we've seen here.
Yes.
So I don't think their contracts are ever going to go back to what they used to be.
Yeah.
But I would credit GMs who went out and got running backs this offseason, maybe more aggressively than they would have in the past.
Yeah, admittedly, this is a take I'm having right now that could look really bad like 7 weeks from now when three of these four guys are, listed as limited in practice or on the IR and things like that. You're absolutely right. It is a position that lends itself to getting banged up. That's why they don't get paid very much. You know, that's why Joe Mixon makes $9 million a year, and he might be the most valuable guy on the Texans in the games that he's been on the field so far this year. He's yet to have a bad game.
And we still, I keep reminding myself, okay, at some point, we're probably going to see Joe Mixon and Nico Collins on the field together again.
Yeah.
And that's where theoretically the real magic can begin.
Yes.
And you can really, maybe they feel more comfortable spreading it out and just not trying to turn Dalton Schultz into a blocker that he is not.
Yeah. Man, getting Nico back in time for that Detroit game would be huge. Would be absolutely huge. All right, Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you here on a Wednesday. Andre Johnson gets his Hall of Fame ring at this game on Sunday against the Colts. I've heard Mark Vandermeer mention that a few times. So that's kind of fun that we see Dre, kind of the finishing touches on his Hall of Fame candidacy and induction. He gets his Hall of Fame ring on Sunday. So that's a big reason to want the Texans to win. So Dre's been a topic this week. D'Amico Ryans.
He gets a key to the secret tunnel system that runs underneath and throughout NRG Stadium.
Oh, that's beautiful.
To where he can go in there. Yeah. All the little secret society things.
I like that.
That you get when you get into the Ring of Fame.
Nice. D'Amico Ryans coaches show. His favorite Andre Johnson story. And we'll hear from Andre himself. He was on the Shuffle podcast. We'll hear from Dre. D'Amico Ryan's favorite Andre story coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast with you. Andre Johnson is getting his Hall of Fame ring at the Colts game on Sunday. That's pretty exciting. Man, when you get into the Hall of Fame, there are a lot of little milestones along the way. It's not just that Sunday that you're going in and you do your speech, man. Dre's gotten to do a lot of cool little things along the way,
yeah,
too.
No, and it's an awesome. And I was talking to Tony Baselli about this, about all the extra little perks that you wouldn't even know about,
yeah,
including just there's a whole group of various business people that just want to hook up a Hall of Famer. So there's a doctor, like a longevity doctor, who's just loves giving these guys advice and all the newest. It's interesting.
It was really funny. I was listening. I think it was yesterday. I was listening whatever day Andy Kalu is on with the Texans, All Access. Whatever day Andy is on. I love Andy. He's really good, and the interview was really funny because they got talking about. When he was on Rice, when he was playing for Rice back in the day, and they beat UT in his last year there, and they tied for the Southwest Conference Championship. They all got rings and things like that. And ND said he was going into a business meeting looking to get a line of credit with a bank on a business deal. And whoever the guy was that he was working with on that was, he was either a Longhorn or an Owl or just somebody who was super interested in that game, was there for it. I forget what the dynamics were of the conversation. But ND's talking about we just talked about the game for about 30 minutes, and the next thing you knew, that line of credit, I just had to write my name down on a piece of paper, and we were good to go. It's kind of stuff like that, right?
Well, it's the same thing when people, if it makes you feel any better about the Tom Brady being the lead analyst instead of Greg Olson,
yeah.
Part of it is that dynamic that, man, when you start selling advertising and you can walk into the CEO of a major car company with Tom Brady, or he comes to just, to a meet and greet at your company or something, those checks come a lot quicker and easier than with Greg Olson.
Having cool stories can get you much further in life than you think it can get you. Being interesting,
So Andre gets his, they present him with the Hall of Fame ring?
Ring, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the ring.
Okay.
He gets the Hall of Fame ring is what I've been hearing Mark say during the week here. D'Amico was asked about that on his coach's show with John Harris and Mark Vandermeer this week. They asked him, what's your favorite Andre Johnson story?
So many moments.
Washington, that game?
Yeah, Washington, definitely. Washington over to that game there for him to close it out. Of course, Courtland Finnegan.
That moment. Even the coach says it.
Yeah, that one always sticks out. Sometimes you just got to let them know. But, Dre is just so many special moments. I just sitting on the sideline and just watching him perform like game after game when no slight to any of my former teammates, but when Dre was the best person on the field, the best receiver, and everybody knew the ball was going to him, and Dre is like triple covered, and we're still throwing the ball to him, and he still comes down with the ball time and time again. He's just one of the best players I've ever had the chance to play with, and I'm, man, so happy for him and his Hall of Fame status now. He's definitely... he's definitely big time, right? And he deserves it, man. Just why. And another moment for Dre for me is as a young player coming into the league, watching how guys practice.
Mm-hmm.
like, for me, watching how Andre practiced, like, he practiced so hard, and I hardly ever seen him drop a football in practice. Right. And that's one thing that stood out to me. Like, he practiced that way, and it showed up on Sunday that way. So it was a pleasure of being his teammate, being his friend, and just seeing the effect that he had on the team, on the community. When we weren't great as the Texans, Dre was always that bright spot for us.
Hey, Ben, can you pull up the clip we played yesterday of C.J. Stroud talking about Laremy Tunsil and what kind of a vet he is?
Yeah, just give me a thumbs up, Ben, when you got it.
Yeah, so I think that biggest thing, because that's true. I played with Andre for several years, and his competitiveness in practice was just, it's everything. You know, even off-season conditioning, he's winning every wind sprint, all of those things. That's a guy that truly capitalized on having great physical talent. He's a good example for young guys like D'Amico Ryans.
You hear about it. We've heard about it so much in the last year because he's going into the Hall of Fame. His practice habits have been one of the two or three biggest storylines with him as a great player.
I would call him a vet's vet. That's what I would call him.
You would call him a vet's vet.
This is what C.J. Stroud thinks a vet's vet is.
You know, like, the main dude was LT. Like, you know, LT, like, he a vet. Like, he not doing an extra practice. Like, you know, like.
There you go. What's the epitome? How do I become the highest paid offensive tackle in football? Yeah. Just don't do anything extra at practice, whatever you do. Like, whatever you do, don't do anything extra at practice.
Seth, why are you doing this? You know all that's going to happen is people are going to continue to text 713-572-4610 with more texts like this that I'm not going to read about the offensive line.
Okay.
The offensive line definitely calls Case Keenum to back up their trailer.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. They're like looking at, does Uber have this service yet where I can just hire somebody to come back up a trailer for me?
Yep.
That's what I need. Uber Eats is great and all. I need Uber backup.
Uber trailer, but Uber K-turn. Yes. Oh, hey, let's hear from Andre. Andre Johnson was on the Shuffle podcast. That's the Chase B does that podcast that goes on all the Texans platforms. Really good podcast. This is Andre on going into the Hall of Fame.
Man, you know, as a kid, you know, you always have dreams of, like, playing in college, playing in the NFL. For me, my dream school was always to go to the University of Miami.
Right.
So, you know, that ended up happening. Mm-hmm. When I got to Miami, my receiver coach, he was probably one of the best receiver coaches around.
I can imagine.
He was just like, man, I'm trying to prepare you for the NFL. Mm. And, man, he pushed me like no one had ever had.
Yeah.
So he was on me about every little thing. He was very detailed about every little thing. And, man, I was able to make it happen and, you know, ended up coming here. And the transition for me was pretty smooth because he had prepared me.
All right, so there you go. Yeah, it's Andre Johnson on the Shuffle podcast. Here's one more from Andre. H-Town Sports. Back when he first got here and what it's like now.
Man, you know what? It's funny. The first thing, like the first piece of like real free time I had, bro, you wouldn't believe the first thing I did, I went and bought some season tickets to the Rockets.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
So you've been down, bro.
Yeah. So like that was like one of my things. Like I always was a big fan of basketball. Mm-hmm. So when I got here, I was just like, man, I want to just go get me some tickets, you know?
Yeah.
So I started going to the games and things of that nature. And like you said, it was just because that was, the year I got here was the first year for the Toyota Center.
Literally.
Yeah, so I was the second year of the team. So everything was just kind of new,
Brand new, you know.
So, and as time went along, man, like, I kind of seen all of it grow and just come together. So right now, man, the city of Houston is just like, it's like the place to be now.
It really is.
Honestly, the whole thing about Andre in the Rockets, I wonder if people probably assume that he's always getting tickets from the team or what have you. And I don't know if he has season tickets. I know that two of the last three times that I've gone to Rockets games where I was actually sitting in the stands, I ended up chatting with Andre.
Yeah.
Like he's almost he's there a lot, maybe more so than they even show on the TV broadcast. It's me running into him, not him running into me, in terms of just because he's there so often.
Yeah, I've never seen him sitting anywhere but that same spot he always seems to be in. I'm saying off to the right. It depends on where you're sitting, but he kind of near Rusty Harden over there. That end of the court. Yeah. So I wonder if he still has those tickets. So yeah, Andre Johnson. And,
I would say of all the Hall of Fame caliber players on the various sports. Yeah. So like Biggio and Bagwell are Houstonians.
Very visible. Yes.
You know, Andre is around. I think he splits his time, but he's here a lot.
Yes.
You know, like he still feels very much like a Houstonian.
Yeah.
JJ, I don't think is going to be a Houstonian when he goes in.
No, I don't think so.
He spends most of his time in Wisconsin and Arizona. He's here a lot, but not by residence or anything.
Yeah, who else? Who else? Like James Harden's going to be a Hall of Famer someday.
He loves Houston.
He does
love
his
restaurant.
Yeah, no, I'm guessing he still has a house. I would guess James Harden still has a house here in Houston. If I had to guess.
He sure does love L.A., though, too.
He does.
So, but, yeah, I think he might end up being... He still might be a permanent fixture in terms of you're going to see him around a lot.
See him about and about. Andre is a Houstonian. Like, I think home base for him is out of here, I'm pretty certain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, these guys all travel all over the place. So, we're getting more texts that I've tried to discourage. And this is one, the O-line wears gloves to eat spicy crawfish. You know what? This is a... confession here, and I'm sure I'll get destroyed by people over this. I've actually started to wear the surgical gloves when I eat crawfish.
Oh, really?
I have. Yeah, I have. It keeps you having spicy fingers the rest of the day can be pretty. It takes a lot of soap to get the crawfish spice
to get
out
it
of
all
your
out from under your fingernails.
Yeah,
and everything too. Yeah.
So I unapologetically. I don't have to go to deep, dark corners of the crawfish universe to hide while I do it either. I'm perfectly fine sitting at a picnic table outdoors at one of the fixtures in the crawfish game.
Do you think the Texans offensive line uses those little holders to eat corn on the cob? You know, those little spiky things that you spike into the end of them so your fingers don't get buttery?
Is that something that somebody that would be a finesse offensive lineman would do, do you think?
I think that's a finesse move right
you do?
There.
Okay.
Yeah, like I don't want to ruin my manicure. I got to be sure I use these little corn on the cob holders.
I don't go out of my way. Like the gloves, I actually have like a box of the surgical gloves. Like if I know we're going out to eat crawfish, I'll tuck some in my pocket. The corn on the cob things, if they're available, I've been known to use them from time to
time.
This
is the thing. This is what I've learned. The new protocol with this is funny. This is how stupid we are as men. I've noticed the rubber glove dynamic, or latex or nitrile, whichever polyester, whatever
artificial substance. Yeah,
they got to be black. Like I've got some black mechanics rubber gloves that I use just when I'm doing stuff that I feel fine using them when they're black.
Yeah.
But if I go to the kitchen and grab the blue nitrile gloves and I'm out working on my lawnmower or something, I feel kind of like, all right, what the hell? So as long as you're wearing black gloves, then you might as well be a professional mechanic.
That explains all the people ridiculing me.
Yeah, so
mine are white.
You've got yellow, bright yellow.
No, just white. That's what they are.
Yeah, get some black ones, and all of a sudden people are like, "Error, there's a man's man."
Okay,
yeah,
good suggestion.
Got black gloves on.
Really good suggestion, actually. It's not crawfish season, but when it rolls around, I'm on the black gloves for sure.
Those mechanics ones are awesome, though. They're like heavy duty.
Oh, yeah?
And it's not like I'm doing actual heavy duty work when I do anything mechanical, you know? So I can reuse them. Because they're pricey, but I can reuse them, and they're black, Sean.
This message is for sure for the audience and not me. I think you know where I stand on manual labor right now. So
yeah. you're less dainty when you're doing it if you're wearing heavy
black
gloves.
I am the person that's being made fun of in a lot of these texts, if we're being honest.
You are, I know, yeah, but you're also not playing off. You're also not getting paid $20 million a year to be an offensive lineman.
To protect C.J. Stroud, right.
Nobody's hiring you to do that, right?
Not anytime soon, no. No, I'm not reading this one. They get into tickle fights with their wife on the regular. No. All right.
Huh. I don't know. Was that bad? No, Brandy does not like to be tickled.
Yeah, neither does Amy.
It's not like a playful, flirtatious, don't tickle me. It's like, I will divorce your ass if you force this. This is going to come up in court. Yeah.
Yep, same here. All right, Payne and Pendergast, into the 9 o'clock hour we go. Man, we're having
fun.
But
maybe
today,
that's just what they want us to. Maybe they're just trying to test us to see what kind of men we are, Sean.
I'll let you try that out. I'm just going to follow what Amy's telling me to do. All right, we've got big trade to report that we will get to you involving a former Texan, a prominent one. It affects the Texans in a big way. And we're on to the Colts. Let's hear from D'Amico Ryans about the Colts. A big injury report for both teams today coming up, and we'll tell you why next.